This book, 1 John, is one of the most powerful of all 66 books in the Bible. There are relationships we all regret, but none so loathsome or repugnant as belonging to the devil. He that doeth sin is of the devil. Now, this is the worst possible result of the sin business, and it's like trying to cut loose from the crime syndicate. It's a lot easier, mister, to begin than to quit. Don't doubt it for a second. He that doeth sin is of the devil. The sinner is incorporated in a relationship of evil. You are not free to do as you please. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it. But sin that dwelleth in me, it's terror unlimited to be devil controlled. And that is why Paul cried in his agony, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That cry is heard in every bar, every discotheque, every racetrack, every divorce court. It's never, never easy to serve the devil. You may ask, who says? The answer, sir, is God says. He says the sinner is tied to the devil. That is your bondage. That's your shame. You may excuse your transgression as mistakes, well-meaning blunders. You didn't mean to embezzle. You really didn't want to hurt anyone when you committed perjury. The fact is that what you did is a devilish thing. You're on the side of bad. You're hand in hand with rebellion. The devil takes everything that is good and makes it bad, and everything that is bad and makes it good, and you are his agent. Look what you've done to your marriage. Look what you've done to your own body. Look what you've done to your speech. Can you honestly be proud of shambles, foul breath, rotten, fetid imagination, dirty words? Then why are you like you are? God's word tells you why. He that doeth sin is of the devil. Now see what the devil does to your gold or money. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Money, sir, is designed to be a blessing. Only the devil makes money a curse. He violates it with greed, inflation, violence, prostitution, addiction. Money builds homes, hospitals, universities, churches. It advances civilization. And like sex, water, fire are meant to be servants, so is money meant to be a servant. But the devil makes it your master. And you serve what it's meant to serve you. And the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money cannot buy respectability, love, or health. It becomes a decoy. It suckers you. You lose simplicity. You lose a sense of values. It segregates you. It will not permit you to mingle with your old friends. It imprisons you behind expensive real estate. It handcuffs you to personal bodyguards. Your children are afraid to attend school. There's always the threat of kidnapping. Money can be used as a messenger of righteousness. That is the feeling you get when you give to missions. It can relieve suffering, banish ignorance. Chaucer, one of England's bards, tells of three companions who went out to find death and look at death. They met a wise man and inquired where they might find death. He replied, "If you will follow the path through the wood, very soon you will come upon him." The three pursued the direction given, and soon they came to a pile of glittering gold. They had met death, but they didn't know it. They agreed the two should keep watch over the gold while the third went to town to secure means by which they could transport the gold. When one was gone, the two reasoned, if we were to make away with that third, there would be more gold for each of us. And while the third was in town, the devil put it into his heart to reflect, if I were to make away with those two, I'd have it all. So he purchased food and drink and placed poison in each. And then he returned to his friends. And when they saw him at a distance, they overpowered and killed him. And then they pounced upon the food and drink to satisfy hunger and thirst. So what had been hailed by them as a great blessing, and what might have been a great blessing to them if they had possessed their hearts in honor and goodness, became their curse and their destruction. Now Jesus turns water to wine, sandwiches to supermarkets, boisterous waves to calm. But the devil turns money to adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. Take the prophets away, and you'll erase these cesspools of evil. See what the devil has done to wine. The grape was designed by the Creator to bring pleasure and health. The Creator had in mind the same for the tasseled corn. Likewise, the divine intent for wheat and barley. Do you mean to tell me that God planned delirium tremens, mortgaged furniture, personal items, corroded livers, frightened children, apparel soiled by uncontrolled vomit, alcoholism, costing millions of man-hours of absenteeism? Sir, somebody thwarts the good. Somebody turns good to evil. Somebody binds with darkness and debt, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. I repudiate that association. My nature, until brought into subjection, repels the sour swill, the loss of balance, the inability to manage, the gutter, gendered brutality. Hell, mister, doesn't lift you from the level of an animal. It reduces you to the level of an animal and sent him to feed the swine. Now the devil will offer you the whole world in a bottle. He's the con man of the universe. He pinpoints his lie with bubbles, burgundy, velvet green, with pops of corks, with delicate stemware. He does it with class, lady, until he has you hooked. And then he leads you to the trough, and you'll be willing to guzzle out of tin cans and cheap walk-ups and sell your body 100 times a day for a thirst you can never quench. Sure, it will loosen your tongue, but it will also loosen your brains, your morals, your pocketbook, your self-respect. It's a bad, bad deal. Rags for decency, filth for tidiness, dissipation for discipline. You look back over a long trail of regret. How many of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. That's the epitaph of a fool, and you know it. And why would you trade stability for the shakes and the loneliness for love? It's devilish, sir. It's devilish, lady. The devil wants you to be a part of waste, of famine. He has a testimony for you, mister. He has these words for you to say. I am a husband without a wife. I am a father without a child. I'm a tramp, a failure, a nobody without a home. I'm among the shuffling dead. Sir, sin makes you an employee of the devil. The wages of sin is death. You've signed on. You're under contract. Oh, thank God the text does not end there. Over against the dark threat of devil relationship is the bright prospect of Christ relationship. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's enough to make you shout. I love the verb chosen, destroy. There's no room for negotiation or compromise. Jesus is manifest to pull down everything the devil builds up and build up everything the devil pulls down. So receive Jesus, and you receive deliverance. Something goes out when he comes in. Ask the cigarette smoker. In John's case, it was temper. Jesus filled that disciple with love. He chased the selfishness out of Zacchaeus and filled him with generosity. Sinner, you don't have to wait for some great emotional tidal wave to sweep you toward Jesus. There'd be no virtue in repentance if it was forced on you. It's your inherent right to choose. As many as received him, choose Christ. The authority is in him. He alone can destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is the demolition expert of heaven. It's not excitement you need. It's an act of your will. Feeling will not change landlords. You must act. You must receive Jesus. He is manifest. You can leave your servitude. God offers you a new master. If you're weary and sick of sin, you bridle at the lies you tell. You wince at the dishonor you bring your parents. You hate the squalor of false gods. God grants you an option. There is an invitation to the household of faith. You can bid the devil goodbye as the Israelis bid Pharaoh goodbye. And I'll tell you what to do. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that will do it. It boils down to a single choice. Either serve Jesus or serve the devil. And after all, there are just two destinies for you. Heaven or hell. And either heaven or hell has begun for you already. I don't have to tell you. You know already. There's a beautiful sense of God's presence among us. We'll come to the long, long altar in faith. The altar is filled. You're in the midst of fellowship. I enjoy these precious seconds with you.
There's room at the cross for you.
I pray, God, that you may enter into righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, you can never know peace until you enter a right relationship with God and man. And the joy you seek is found in a life in the Spirit. All else is tinsel. Any other is surface living. It reduces to foolishness and incompetence in the light of eternity. Will you open? This is the trigger point. If any man will open, I will come in. It's a guarantee. Do you want Jesus to manage your life? When it becomes apparent that this is your honest, unconditional request, the miracle of new birth takes place. It's an act of faith, of personally reaching toward this man of history and resurrection, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, our quest is for thee. Thou art Savior, the only begotten Son of God, the Lamb that taketh away sin. This is our public confession. We claim reconciliation and expiation through thy eternal sacrifice. Thy blood cleanseth. I pray for our children who become prey to drug peddlers. Raise up thy standard against these murderers and merchants of death. I pray for police who strive to contain the manufactured violence of our day. Strike the conscience of those in authority. I pray for foster parents who reach toward the discarded to offer home and love, honor so much good that is among us. And above all, let the will of thy people be impressed upon those who represent us, so that equity and justice may prevail. Save us from collapse and riot bred by lack of courage to do the right. I ask these mercies in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's that precious time to discern the sovereign ministry of our Lord. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I'm assured by the Holy Spirit who takes of him and transmits these intents to us that there is among us at the long, long altar a dear one whose lifelong problem is to put on weight. You're weary of looking emaciated, having clothes hanging as though they were on a clothesline and evoking the constant sympathy of well-meaning people. You'd like to turn that attention away from yourself. Now my friend Jesus, who reads our thoughts and shares our longings, has come to you with his grace and supply. And you will have your desire to his glory. Use your testimony to spread the gospel. I'm his evangelist servant. Never let the meeting close. Keep the message given us by the Spirit moving among all flesh. These are the final days of the church. They're good days for us. Soon the biggest headline ever reported will splash upon the front page. Cemeteries have been ripped open. The dead in Christ have risen. Millions. And what follows, sir, will not permit a committee meeting, nor can the crowd that disappears be reached. Jesus has promised a date he will keep, and you can make it if you will yield to the Spirit of God. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.